RNZ Pacific News, Nisan Bulavinaka, I'm Silmanu Tevam Tau Fai. Solomon Islands Deputy Police Commissioner is calling for people to respect the democratic process of today's prime ministerial election. Parliament will be closed to the public as the process is a private members' meeting, not a sitting of Parliament, and so will not be broadcast. Kuroi Hawkins has been following the election.
Honiara City has a well-documented history of public unrest around political events. Deputy Police Commissioner Ian Vaivaso is in charge of security operations at Parliament and says police will not tolerate anyone who intends to disturb the process of the election of the Prime Minister. The two candidates for the top job are former Foreign Affairs Minister Jeremiah Manele and the former opposition leader Matthew Wale. The election gets underway at 9:30 a.m. Solomon's time.
The head of Transparency International Solomon Islands says the country's weak political party legislation is skewing voter choices. Almost half of the incumbent MPs who contested last month's national election lost their seats. Many of the newly elected MPs, particularly those who ran as independents, campaigned on platforms to change the government or be an alternative voice in the House. Transparency Chief Executive Ruth Lelokula says these same politicians are now aligning themselves with a coalition which will effectively return the former government to power.
That kind of movement is what I refer to as the destabilizing factor in our political stability. Freedom for anyone to stand as an independent candidate, that still stays. But for them to then, after winning as an independent candidate, then they come together and form a group. That needs to be got rid of.
The prime ministerial election will happen in a private MPs meeting and is scheduled to start in about half an hour. The Hunga Tonga Hunga Ha'apai volcanic eruption continues to generate research 2 years after its violent outburst. An international team will travel to the volcano this month to gather evidence that suggests an alternative mechanism triggered the January 15, 2022 eruption. GNS Science Principal Scientist Cornel Daron told Pacific Waves the research aims to understand why and how these volcanoes erupt so violently compared to other eruptions around the world.
If we do have a better understanding of that, perhaps we can make the local Tongan community and any community around the circum-Pacific region more resilient to these possible types of eruptions, or at least they are aware of them, and that could help them in terms of how they prepare for emergency situation.
Tsunami waves generated by the eruption killed three people and resulted in damage to thousands of homes and infrastructure in the kingdom. Fiji's Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister admits the country's human trafficking unit has been neglected. The government has set aside 10,000 Fijian dollars a year for the past 3 years, a figure survivor advocates say is a drop in the bucket. Biman Prasad blames a low funding allocation inherited by the previous government. He has promised a cash injection.
Of course, you know, we will be providing adequate funding, and which means more than what was there. We will make sure that there are adequate resources, and we'll be working with our international partners, including New Zealand, Australia.
Mr. Prasad says he cannot say how much will be set aside until the July budget release. New Zealand's Foreign Affairs Minister says he's still investigating what AUKUS Pillar 2 would mean for New Zealand. Last night, Winston Peters spoke about the multinational military alliance at an event in Parliament. Joining the second part of the pact was looked into under the previous Labour government, and those investigations have continued under the coalition. Mr. Peters told RNZ Morning Report he's trying to find out what benefits the alliance could provide.
It could be a whole lot of humanitarian causes that we've got to be benefiting from. We just don't know, but the world's moving on fast. It's not Buck Rogers in the 25th century, but look, there are new exciting things which can help humanity. That's our point.
Meanwhile, former Prime Minister Helen Clark says Winston Peters' speech on the AUKUS security partnership backtracked from the joint statement he made in Washington, D.C., with U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
The two of them said, and I quote, there are powerful reasons for New Zealand engaging practically with AUKUS, quote unquote. Well, we didn't see that. We saw a lot about we're looking at it. We don't know what it contains. We have to find out more.
In world news, Israel has opened a new entry point into northern Gaza to allow more humanitarian aid into the famine-threatened territory. The BBC's Fugal Keane witnessed the reopening of the Erez crossing.
After sustained international pressure led by Israel's strongest ally, America, the government here wants to show it is serious about facilitating an upsurge in aid deliveries to Gaza. A group of international journalists was taken to the Erez border crossing today to witness the loading of trucks taking aid along a new road into northern Gaza, a place where over 75% of the population is now displaced. The UN has warned of imminent famine, and its human rights director, Volker Turk, said there was a plausible case Israel might be using food as a weapon of war.
Senators in Arizona have voted to repeal the 19th century state law banning abortion unless the mother's life is in danger. It was revived after the US Supreme Court overturned the constitutional right of woman to a termination. Arizona's Senate voted by 16 to 14 votes to repeal the near-total abortion ban. In sport, three Fijian Indroa players are keen to play for the Fiji men's sevens team at the Paris Olympics if given the chance. Kitione Salawa, Taniela Rakuro and Celestino Ravu Taumara have told media in Fiji they will play if sevens team officials want them. The trio are key members of the Indroa squad and have all played impressively in the competition this year. Fiji Men's Sevens coach Osea Kolenisau is trying out players before naming its his final squad for the July event. The development of Paralympic sports has been boosted by a new Memorandum of Understanding signed between the Oceania National Olympic Committee and the Oceania Paralympic Committee. The MOU will see the two organisations working together to advance the growth and exclusivity of para sports across the Oceania region. ONOC says they will use their competition and events to include participation and integration of athletes, coaches, officials and teams from OPC member nations. The new partnership will assist Oceania Paralympians prepare for the Brisbane 2032 Olympic and Paralympic Games. Black Ferns assistant coach Tony Christie says that they're eager to banish a poor end to the 2023 season. New Zealand yesterday named three debutants for the Pacific Four series, which kicks off against the US next weekend in Hamilton. After suffering losses to France and England last October and November, Christie says it's a long wait to get back on the park.
Last year we built some really good foundations in our game. Obviously big changes, new group, new coaching. This year is all about consistency and momentum of those foundations. There's obviously some errors in our game that we need to get better at, and that's a big focus for us, particularly around being able to play multiple styles as a Black Ferns team.
And that's your latest RNZ Pacific News and Sport. For more stories, head to rnzi.com.